We've heard a lot recently about income splitting, which remains on the table as Prime Minister Harper promotes it as, quote, an excellent policy, even though the late federal finance minister, Jim Flaherty, had voiced some misgivings about the fairness of the measure. Yesterday, the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada released a report in which it sought to debunk what it calls the myths about income splitting, myths that they say are a disservice to Canadian families. And joining me now is Andrea Mrozek. She's the executive director of the Institute of Marriage and Family in Canada. First off, thanks for joining us, Andrea. And can you give us a simple definition of income splitting? What are we talking about?
Sure. Thanks for having me on. Income splitting is sometimes known as family taxation. What it allows to do is it allows two partners to share their income. Thereby, generally, this is the result is a lower tax burden. So if one partner is in a higher tax bracket and they can share income with another partner in a lower tax bracket, what it does is decrease their tax burden. It's tax policy that's been implemented in the United States, Germany, France, Czech Republic, a bunch of nations around the world. And it basically allows families to do legally what they're doing already, which is pool their income and work together to make their family lives work.
And not take such a large tax hit as they might otherwise. Explain how this works. Taking advantage of the lower earning spouse. How does that work?
Well, I would like to add, I just mentioned it, it generally delivers a lower tax burden because you're moving the higher income spouse into a lower tax bracket. We have a progressive tax system. The reason why we want to implement family taxation or family income splitting, as we call it, is because there's an injustice right now in the current tax system whereby two families that have the same income but arrange their lives slightly differently, but have the same goals, aspirations, and the same income coming in are taxed at very, very different rates. So there's a bit of an injustice there. It affects roughly half of Canadian families. About half, 46% of Canadian families would therefore benefit from correcting this injustice.
Is there a difference between how income splitting would be applied to a family where there is one breadwinner and one in which there are two breadwinners? I mean, it's tough to split income if you're the sole breadwinner for the family.
Well, it actually is beneficial to both. It depends on what tax brackets you're in. The only circumstance in which income splitting does not benefit is if you and your partner are in exactly the same tax bracket. It's going to be harder for those people. But if you have one person earning and another person not at all, then definitely would benefit. And that's a circumstance that may affect a wide variety of families for different reasons, perhaps taking care of elders, taking care of children, perhaps taking some time off for whatever reason. If you are in two different income brackets, i.e., one person's working part-time, for example, and the other full-time, thereby making more money, you would benefit as well.
All right.
So, you know, we've put together a chart showing how average Canadians can benefit from income splitting. One of the myths we wanted to debunk is that this is somehow a tax benefit for the rich. It really isn't. It's a way of rectifying the current injustice.
Yeah, and in reference to your chart, you've said that income splitting would help almost half of Canadian families with kids under the age of 18, and that if it were adopted both federally and provincially, typical middle-class families getting by on a single income would see substantive tax relief. Can you give us an example of what you mean?
Yeah, so we are in favor of income splitting as a policy. We're not necessarily promoting the Conservative Party platform. We would like to see this implemented provincially and federally. And if it were done, we have examples of a school teacher in Manitoba who would save 23% on the tax bill. An electrician in Ontario making $56,000 would save 35% were this individual able to split the income with a spouse So there's some pretty substantial benefits, 28% for a registered nurse in New Brunswick, for example. It amounts to a couple thousand dollars. It's certainly, you know, not the lottery windfall that some of us might hope for, but it's a substantial amount of money for the average person. And so when you see people poo-pooing this, I feel like it's a little bit denigrating to Canadian families, because a couple of thousand dollars is good money, and it's a step in the right direction for working together as families. That's the other reason why the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada supports it. We want families to be able to work together and to increase that.
And it's at the proposal stage in Ottawa. Do you know where it's at in terms of how far it's being moved along? We want to be clear about this. This is all proposal right now.
Right. Yeah, that's right. We currently are taxed as individuals, except for pensioners who have pension splitting. And actually, sometimes when I talk to Canadians, first they don't know what it is. Then when they realize what it is, they're surprised they can't do it already, because there are some specific circumstances, privately employed people who can, to a certain extent, share their income with a partner. But it's only at the proposal stage, and at the federal level at that. We'd like to see this move across the country, provincially as well. Come budget 2015, it'll be interesting to see whether they go forward with it. The late finance minister, Jim Flaherty, made this a bit more controversial than it ought to have been by suggesting he didn't think it was good policy. This is policy that Liberals and Conservatives going back to the 60s have been able to support.
The theme of your report, which was released yesterday, is that there are myths, a number of myths about income splitting. Can you give us more examples of the myths that you cite in your report?
Yeah, one of my favorite myths as a young woman is this idea that it's going to force women back into the kitchen, that somehow this is curtailing their freedom. Under no circumstances is giving families more money curtailing freedom. We wouldn't say that in any other circumstance. When families are able to keep more of their own money, then they can make their own choices and decisions with greater freedom, I would argue. So that particular myth really gets my goat, because I feel like it's actually denigrating to women to suggest that were I to get more money in my pocket and suddenly I wouldn't be able to make choices. There's no element of social engineering in this program at all. That's my personal myth that I'd like to bust a little bit better. And the other one I'd say is the idea that this is only for the rich, and we just discussed that. There's potential savings for just regular middle-class Canadians across the board. So I think those two myths are my favorite. We also address whether this is exclusively right-wing policy, and we've touched on that a little bit. In fact, Liberals have supported it. We see some, liberal democracies in Europe have implemented this, for example. Lots of myths out there about it being some sort of a conservative ploy, which it isn't at all. And Liberals, used to support it in this country as well. Those are just some of the myths that we are addressing, and ultimately hoping that we can help build up Canadian families through a simple tax change.
You mentioned that it has been adopted in other countries. What has been the experience there? What has been the result of it?
Well, I first of all, didn't bring on Armageddon, which is what you might think when you take a look at the media cycle and commentary from some quarters, right? And in other instances, France, for example, it does have a higher fertility rate than Canada does. I think that means people are able to exercise their choices around the amount of children they'd like to have. We do see that in Canada as well, that people say they'd like to have more kids than they're actually having, and finances are a big issue for families today. In fact, some surveys show finances are the issue. So anything that can help families overcome that and have more money in their pocket is probably a good thing. Again, I said earlier, we're not championing the conservative proposal necessarily, and one of the reasons why we would like to see that tweaked is in France, for example, a single parent can split with a child. That opens up the policy to a greater number of people and helps single parents who need that extra help as well. So there's certain tweaks we'd like to see. Broadly speaking, we're in favor of the policy, have been before the Conservatives proposed it as well. Just think it's good for families.
All right. It can be quite complex, you know, for the average person to try and get into the details of income splitting. If people want to find out more about it, can they? Are you offering any information to clarify what it is?
Yeah, we're going to be putting together fact sheets and possibly a little YouTube clip, because tax policy is not generally the most intriguing thing. So you're right, it's hard to get your head around. But this report is available at the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada and our banner at the homepage, imfcanada.org. It certainly is a good starting point, and we recruited a bunch of reputable authors to contribute. So it's a team effort here to bust the income, some of the income splitting myths.
Because I'm thinking people could go to your website, learn more about it, and then if they want to communicate to their MP or MPP, their interest in it, they have some information at their disposal.
That's right.
What's your website?
IMFCanada.org.
IMF, as in International Monetary Fund. IMF, IMF, Mary Frank, IMF.
Canada.org.
Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
That was Andrea Mrazek.